Hello, we are on the box and we are on the internet, and now we're in your headphones, which is in your ears, and you're listening to that. This is like the that bit on the TV show. In a dark, dark town, there was a dark, dark street. And in a dark, dark street, there was a dark, dark house. And in a dark, dark house, there was a dark, dark cellar. And in the dark, dark cellar, some skeletons lived and had a pet dog. So welcome to On the Box.
Yes, we are those that skeletons.
Brings me back that.
Two skeletons and they're the pet dog.
I'm trying to remember what show that was.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a thing, and I just incited it. There you go. Suck on that.
Yes.
Suck on that intro.
Okay, so I'm Rob.
I'm Rob as well.
Oh, I'm Owen.
Unfortunately, I'm Ryan.
Unfortunately, you are. You said it.
Aye, I did.
I just agreed.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an odd week, very spartan on the news, but a hell of a lot of trailers have come out.
Trailergeddon.
Yeah,
yes.
It is literally trailergeddon for TV. I've not actually seen this many trailers out in the same week, and they're from like CBS and the CW. So we've had a look at some of them. So starting off with the CW, they've got trailers for Frequency, No Tomorrow, and Supergirl. Supergirl one is pretty straightforward one. They're just introducing the Flash into Supergirl and introducing Arrow and Black Canary.
Does the Flash always stay fully dressed?
Yes. He's not that kind of Flash.
Because if he did that while doing that, he'd lose something.
He's also not Flash Gordon, which means the there's no Ming the Merciless.
The thing is, though, he's that fast that you probably wouldn't notice him flashing.
He'd just be, you know when they used to do subliminal adverts in like movies? Was that a penis? Where did I see that?
Fight Club all over again.
You wouldn't know where it was, but you just know you've seen it.
Yeah.
Subliminal advertising for genitals.
The symbol on his chest would be very different if he was that kind of Flash.
Yeah. Guess it would.
Oh, dear.
But on the other trailers.
The other trailers. No Tomorrow is a woman who is what? She's not very good at her job, and she's kind of indecisive and various things like that. And she meets a guy who's living his life because he thinks that he's worked out that apparently the world will end in just over 8 months. So he's trying to convince her to live her life the same way he does. You remember The Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
Yeah, can't forget that. It was tedious.
Yeah, it seems like the female version of that.
Is this the one we're talking about first, is it?
Yeah.
Didn't particularly like it because there's a lot of this stuff about. There's like a New Girl that has a very New Girl vibe.
Yeah.
And there's, what was that thing on Netflix?
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That's the fella.
Yeah. How did I get that?
See, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has a vibe. There's a very popular sort of quirky girl vibe, which is very present on current American comedy TV.
It's got that sassy black guy, which seems to be quite popular now.
Well, he's not exactly black. He's Latino, I suppose.
But that's the thing.
Corrected.
Yeah,
they kind of got sick of having the sassy black woman, so they've traded that card in, and now they've got the sassy ethnic man.
Yeah.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt had one as well.
Yeah.
They've always got to have one. But
saying ethnic man because that one's Hispanic and he's
they're often
not black.
The comedy factor.
Just to give you the context of this, Evie Callahan is a risk averse quality control assessor who's not very good at her job and appreciates order. Whenever she's making a list, make a list is both the first thing on it and the first thing crossed off. And she basically has a regimented lifestyle. Blah, blah, blah. And she meets a guy called Xavier with an X.
I actually said it as Xavier.
Yeah.
Because in America, they call it Xavier.
No, they pronounced it Xavier.
Also, it's actually pronounced correctly.
Cause...
So I was probably there, because that's a real bugbear of mine. People pronouncing Xavier wrong.
Somebody's finally gone over there and taught them English.
Yeah.
But it's not actually an English name, though.
Well, the thing is, With the whole name Xavier, the reason why it's called Xavier is because of Marvel. It's their fault.
Xavier.
To fit in with the X-Men, they thought...
Is Professor Xavier?
Well, Professor Javier.
Yeah, Javier, sorry.
That would have changed it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to make any racial slurs, though, so I'll not do that.
That's the reboot.
That's the Family Guy's job. Family Guy's job is to do Professor Xavier.
Yeah. Anyway, so... It is a very New Girl vibe to it. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt vibe.
Yeah, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is the high watermark for that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of this.
Yeah.
So I think you got to try a little bit harder to mark your territory in the comedy world.
That's true. The trailer was quite slow to start with. But once it started to pick up and get traction, I think it was actually quite good.
Yeah.
Well, it has some funny moments, but yeah. The thing is, the bit with the pogo stick, she chucks the pogo stick into the bin and it bounces straight back out.
That's been done thousands of times.
It's been done thousands of times, and you know, it was done well, which is why we laughed. Like,
replaced with Space Hopper, replaced with anything bouncy.
Yeah. All I'm saying is it's been done so many times. Was done well, and that was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally down on it. It's just the fact that it's so
generic,
so worn in.
Yeah,
so
generic.
Everybody else is doing it.
Generic.
It's got funny bits, but it's just generic.
Yeah,
it's so, safe. It's like
yeah.
It's safe.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Actually, that's a very good word for it. So yeah. Anyway, moving on to the final one from CW, which is Frequency.
Oh, this is
and Rob has a lot to say about this.
let you say the nice things first.
Well, basically, it's. Not a continuation, it's a total spin-off type thing from the movie from several years ago now, isn't it?
2000.
Yeah. Was it 2000? Yeah.
So 16 years ago.
So it's had a good space of time between the movie and this series, and Frequency is the story of Detective Raimi Sullivan, who has always wanted to prove that she's nothing like her dad, who died in 1996 when she was 8 years old. He was an undercover cop, and then he was always on this old AM radio, and he was always trying to talk to people on it. And then there's a lightning storm, hits the radio, and then she suddenly hears her dad from the past talking on the radio.
Breaker, breaker, is that wibbly nonsense?
Yeah. Cue the whole Frequency type thing, where she basically tells her dad that he's going to die, and then the future changes. But the problem is, with this one, she remembers two different pasts at that point. She remembers the past with her dad dead and with her dad alive. But also, that's changed things as well, because a serial killer who has been dormant for 20 years was never actually dormant while her dad was alive. Which is making me think, was her dad the serial killer? Oh. Which it probably isn't going to be, but immediately I'm
thinking...
Know.
Well, it seems they've followed the basic formula of the film, just replaced a few kind of things. I know in the original, it was Jim Caviezel, his father was a fireman.
Yeah.
But the formula is still the same, the nightingale being the serial killer and his mother being killed, murdered by him.
Wasn't his dad God? No. Other film. It's another film. Forget it.
Yes.
I was wondering when that was going to come into play.
Well, this is the most well-known thing.
Yeah.
The problem with this is it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Movie, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah.
You can be pretty economical with your storytelling there. You don't have to get yourself too tied up and too much. But it's a TV show. What's going to be like 6, 8, 12, 20-something?
I think maybe 10 episodes seems to be a...
10 to 12.
Even so, regardless of how long it is, it's going to be hit with the same problem. It's going to have this sort of... I mean, the trailer has a lot of cycles of time and talking to younger versions of things, other versions of things, multiple versions of things. And 2 hours is hard enough, because one of the things in cinema that she's always cried out about is it just never gets time travel right.
Yeah.
Mm. Because the cause and effect thing, you know, that's very, very complicated. But to have it over 20 hours, they're just making it, or whatever hour, how many hours it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just making it incredibly difficult for themselves. And the chances of them coming out unscathed, pretty, pretty harsh. It's going to be pretty unlikely.
I think it's going to constantly have high and low moments.
And even on the evidence of the trailer, it seems like they're overcomplicating matters for themselves.
Yeah,
I think even that early, it's going to make a mess of itself.
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about shows that have done time travel, I mean, it's always sci-fi shows that have done time travel. The main one...
It's a secondary thing. It's not a...
Yeah.
The main... Oh, which it seems to be here.
Well, this isn't so much time travel, but it is all about changing the past. And the first thing that sprung to mind when I thought that that's exactly what it's about was Quantum Leap, which actually managed to do it right.
Yeah, because it wasn't trying to be wibbly-wobbly.
No.
It was just...
He was jumping into other people's bodies and affecting the past. But the thing is, because he was doing that, it had a knock-on effect on the future. And that's why the last episode of Quantum Leap was Sam ending up in like a restaurant, cafe, bar type thing with a guy called John. And John at that point is, you basically get the impression that John is God. And he's basically reached a point where he can't actually go home.
My middle name is John.
Yeah.
You're not God.
Your middle name
is not
God, okay?
No, you are not God, I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
I'm
Robert
positive.
God Simpson, no.
Because you see, you're the first person who's ever said that to me, so I'm pretty sure I am.
Anyway.
God complex, maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's okay, though.
Yeah, it's not like my Facebook profile is God Smith.
God damn Smith.
Is he a Black Exploitation character?
Yes. But
he
anyway.
No.
Final episode of Quantum Leap. What he's done, Sam has changed the past too much. He's basically created too many deviations from his original timeline, so can't actually go home.
Going back to frequency, they've already seen that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
In that trailer.
Yeah.
Which is just not impressive at all to me.
See, that's the problem I've got with that trailer as well. They've just fit too much stuff into the trailer and given most of it away.
I think that's most of these trailers, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know why they can't just do what movie trailers do and just do like a little 2-minute thing and that's it.
Are you complete? Like, movie trailers give away far too much.
Movie trailers seem to use the best
these
parts
are about
to sell
5 minutes
film.
Long.
Yeah, movie trailers used to be about 5 minutes long. So,
yeah,
it's nothing new. I mean, we're talking about 1970s movie trailers are like 5 minutes long and they had like the whole, it was like a short film of the movie.
Yeah.
Which it seems to be as well.
With frequency, I can kind of see it being a cop procedural. Like, to keep it going, they're going to have to inject, like, because she's a detective, they're going to have to inject, like, other crimes that she will be investigating alongside this mass investigation.
Time cops.
Yeah, and she's going to get her dad from the past to help her out, or her dad from the future.
Is her dad played by Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, I don't know.
And he's going around with a shirt, with his vest, no, roundhouse kicking people.
Drinking Coors Light everywhere.
Yes, drinking Coors Light.
Different version of
it could work.
Van Damme.
It could work.
Different era.
Yeah. It could have worked.
Could have, would have, should have.
Should have just made Time Cops.
They had a sequel out. It was awful.
Yeah. But the thing is, if they'd actually just done Time Cop as a TV series, it could have worked. Because over in Star Trek, they had like the Time Police, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did.
The Time Police.
No, seriously. Basically,
was one of them the giant baby?
No.
That's a reference to things.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The Time Police, basically, they weren't there to solve crimes through time. They were basically there to stop people using time travel willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Because what they were doing, people who found a way to travel back to the past could change the past in their favor. The job of the Time Police was basically to stop that happening.
Yeah. They had to travel back in time to the past to interview Sisko when he went back to the past.
Yeah.
Which is kind of all a little weird.
You get like time-alized, and then if you're over the limit, you lose your time license.
I'm sorry, this says you're 250 years. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take away your license.
See, that would actually be funny.
Yeah.
If you had Time Cop, but it was like Chips. You remember the old cop show from the 70s where they're on the bikes? So you've got the Enterprise or the Voyager or something like that. And then you just got two guys on bikes going, pull over.
Now, you see, all I'm getting now is Jean-Claude Van Damme in like really short jean cutoffs and like a white vest.
That's the image I put into your head.
And he's got like a cap on with his mullet.
Yeah.
This just sounds like a pornographic movie.
He's come to fix the
fridge. Understand you've been using too much time.
Yes.
You need to go in time jail.
Your time's up.
Wow.
Oh, for God's sake. It's time to stop.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, no, I don't.
Have I ruined that show yet?
Yes.
I think so.
Anyway, moving on, there are other...
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme in the porn as well. It's not just somebody who looks like him.
Yes.
So, yeah, there you go.
CBS has released a whole bunch of teasers and trailers as well. The first big one from them isn't really a trailer. It's a teaser, and I don't know what to think about it. It was their teaser for the new Star Trek.
So we know it has a logo now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's basically...
I don't understand. Why not just give us a picture of it?
There's so many questions it asks. I mean, what era of Star Trek is it in? Yeah. Is it pro... Is it before the Enterprise? Is it after all the stuff that they were doing? Is it in the most recent TV show they're doing? There's so many questions which fans are clamoring
could
for.
Be like
because
the prequel of the prequel.
Is it going to be in line with the movies?
J.J. Abrams,
which would be the worst.
Yeah, I think from what I read a while ago, it wasn't quite in that line, but I think it took some stuff from it. Not quite sure. They've given next to no information. All the bases telling us it is definitely coming in 2017, which we pretty much already knew.
It's coming.
But the trailer is basically the best confirmation we can have.
It's going to happen. I think it's out next year.
I
hope it's successful, because the last series, Enterprise, deserved it and it never got it.
No, that's true. I think people kind of got all hung up on little things like, oh, because it looks better than the original Enterprise. I'm sorry, but it is what it is.
Right, people on the internet. One was made in the 60s.
Yes, I know.
One was made in 2000s and whatever.
It flew because of the amazing technology of a wooden pole and string. That's how it flew.
Yep.
I mean, admittedly, the Alien franchise got away from explaining why the Prometheus was much more advanced than it was in Alien.
Yeah.
Even though they were the same time, because one's a mining vessel, which is just a clunker, and the other one was like a space exploration vehicle, which has got loads of government funding.
Yeah.
Makes sense. But seriously, it doesn't matter. It's sci-fi.
It really doesn't.
The one thing you're supposed to have is suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
And to go into Star Trek is that one's not right. It's got too much stuff. It's idiotic.
No.
It's idiotic sci-fi fans.
The worst ones on sci-fi conventions are the ones who sit there in the panel and go, but in this episode you did this, but then further in the series you did this. Aren't those two things contradicting
different
each
writers?
Other?
Stupid sci-fi nerds. Stupid sci-fi nerds.
See, I've heard that at sci-fi conventions, and my policy is I enjoyed it. That's fine by me.
And it was probably different writers who weren't really subscribing to each other with the smallest minutia.
Yeah.
Because they don't care.
They were just telling a story.
Yeah, they're just telling a story. Who cares? I enjoyed those episodes.
We need more Bow Wicker Wow Wow with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Rolling up in his time cops.
Yes. So, anyway, next trailer from CBS is... it's causing a lot of hatred. And I'm surprised at just how much backlash there has been about this. It's MacGyver.
Nah.
And it's basically action adventure drama about 20-something Angus Mac MacGyver, who's played by Lucas Till.
They call him Mac a lot.
Yeah.
That guy who always is in trouble and wasn't in prison for some reason, I always called him Mac. But
he has apparently created a clandestine organization within the US government, where he uses his extraordinary talent for unconventional problem solving and vast scientific knowledge to save lives. He's joined on his high risk mission by former CIA agent Lincoln, who's played by George Eads.
Hang on. There's a clandestine organization within the US government that's there to save lives. What's the CIA? What's the FBI? What's the NCIS? What's all those?
Yeah, I know.
Magic dust.
Oh, no, they fall under the aegis of the Department of External Affairs.
So, police?
I don't know.
This is just moronic, frankly. If you just said, he's an agent, he does stuff, he saves people's lives, he gets in all sorts of situations like his dad did, which is what they're doing, this is dad.
No, it's not. This is a reimagining.
I think the police just got jealous of him, so they just segregated him off.
This is a reimagining. He's not the son of MacGyver.
So whatever he is, this is just, regardless of what it looks like or what it is, its concept, its very core is moronic.
Yeah.
Right.
See, at least with the original MacGyver, the one with Richard Dean Anderson,
it knew it was moronic.
It knew you couldn't defuse a nuclear weapon with a paperclip, a pen top, and a stick of chewing gum.
Have you actually seen any of the episodes? It's so badly acted by everybody.
I know.
Makes no sense.
That's why Richard Dean Anderson is so beloved in Hollywood, because everybody knows he can't act. And yet he made a fortune.
Hmm.
Thank God for Stargate as well.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't really try to act in Stargate. He was just very deadpan and flat.
Well, that's very true.
Which works for him, because he was like...
I think it worked for the character as well.
He was a military man, so that kind of makes sense.
Do you know the weird thing about Stargate? He didn't actually act in there. He just basically played himself.
Actors do that. I mean, Jack Nicholson just plays himself.
Yeah. Richard Dean Anderson, you know, when they're going into all that science stuff, he does what you do. He phases out.
He does it so well in the show as well.
Because he's actually phasing out.
The white noise mod.
Yes.
That's what I have.
That's what you have.
That's exactly
everywhere,
what he does.
Every day.
Yeah, just if you bar me, white zone mod. White noise mod. Done. Sorted.
That's exactly what Richard Dean Anderson was doing in Stargate.
Even if it wasn't affiliated with like MacGyver, which is beloved by I don't know who or for what reason.
Yeah.
It just looks bad. It just doesn't look very good. Even without that franchise attached to it.
Yeah. It just I think they're trying to recreate a bit of the campness from the original series, but it's not working.
I mean, I know you like Battlestar Galactica, like the most recent one, but it took something which is campy and flighty and made it very, very serious.
Yeah.
Which it works more for Battlestar Galactica than it does other things.
Yeah.
But in this case, they've done exactly the same thing. Something stupid and silly, and they've turned it into CSI or something.
Yeah. Well, that's in stuff from like the 60s, 70s, 80s. They had that kind of silliness
quite
well, and sort of rebooting them, bringing the serious, and which is apparently supposed to be quite good today, it kind of does ruin...
And loses the magic.
Yeah, exactly, loses the magic. It doesn't appeal to the original audience that might have thought they liked it because it was that way, but instead brings it to those that just like the seriousness, the grittiness, and I can see where you're coming
from. It to them.
Well, the grittiness is just so vanilla these days because everybody's doing grittiness. It doesn't really mark it out from the crowd. What would mark them out from a crowd if they just went, all right, we're doing the silly again?
Yeah. I'll be honest, right, one of the ones that sticks in my mind for this is The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Because the original TV series, right, with Napoleon Solo and Ilya Kuryakin, I used to adore that series, and I could happily sit down and watch episodes from that series still. But I watched the movie.
Just on the movie is silly as well. But I think the one that got actually right, ironically, is Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
not just the first one. I mean, all that's really changed between the movies was the stakes got bigger and bigger, but the same sort of core value of what Mission Impossible was as a TV show.
It's ridiculous.
It's basically exactly the same.
Yeah. It's basically just, okay, look, you're in this ridiculous situation. How do you get out?
But it was vaguely realistically. Sort of semi-realism.
Yeah, semi-realism, but...
Yeah.
You know...
But this is just, no. I mean, I hate to be negative in, like, literally every trailer, but it's not my fault to make bad trailers or bad shows. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I didn't like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie.
I hated it.
I didn't like it because
it made me physically angry.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't like it. And do you know the weird thing? The one that got closest to being The Man from U.N.C.L.E. In terms of the whole spy movie and campness and stuff like that was Kingsman.
I agree on that.
Yeah.
That was more Man from U.N.C.L.E. than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah. I guess.
I'm excited for the sequel for that.
So, yeah, anyway, moving on, we also got a first look at the new TV series that stars Michael Weatherly from NCIS, which is called Bull.
I think the best way I could describe this, especially from the trailer, was that it's like Murder in the First meets Lie to Me.
Only supposedly funnier, I suppose, because Michael Weatherly is just, as you said, he's playing himself from NCIS.
Yeah, he's playing Dinozo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand why he left. I mean, he was there the longest after White-Haired Man.
Mark Harmon.
After The Witcher. Yeah. After The Witcher, he was there after The Witcher.
That's all you'll know him as.
Do you know the weird thing? I actually think Mark Harmon would actually play a good, Geralt.
A good emotionless killing machine.
Because he does that really well in NCIS.
But I understand why he left. Because, I mean, of the original, there's only Mark Harmon and McGee.
Yeah.
Well, McGee wasn't the original.
I know he's close as.
He was close to it, because,
So I understand why he left.
He appeared in the first series, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was brought after the pilot.
Michael Weatherly was in Dark Angel, everybody seems to forget that as well.
No, I know he was.
But he didn't play himself in that, I don't think.
No.
But, yeah, he's just playing Dinozo again, which is a bit sad, because, I mean, I watched the TV movie with him in. I think he was playing, it was one of the 60s. Stories, you know, where celebrities have over sex relationships.
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra. Lead actress there and the main, her husband. I can't remember.
I know which one you're about.
It's just got my brain.
You were talking about, it's Elizabeth Taylor's husband.
That's the one. Elizabeth Taylor. I can't remember who she was married to off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But it was a story about
several men.
But the famous one.
They were all famous.
One of the famous ones. He was playing that, and he didn't play himself either.
Yeah.
And I think he has capabilities as an actor to do like roles which just aren't himself, and this is just him playing himself, which is sad, I think.
To give you a bit of context about Bull, he's playing the role of Dr. Jason Bull, and...
Doctor.
Yeah. Dr. Bull is the ultimate puppet master when he combines psychology, human intuition, and high-tech data to learn what makes jurors, attorneys, witnesses, and the accused tick. And apparently, this is inspired by the early career of Dr. Phil McGraw,
who?
The founder of one of the most prolific trial consulting firms of all time. Apparently, this guy used all sorts of tricks to try and win trials. So people who were going to trial would pay him thousands of dollars to basically get his take on how the trial's going to progress.
Kind of boring, really, now.
That's because it's America. And in America, there are consultancies for everything. Would you like to poo better?
Well, no, not just that. I mean,
call the experts.
The land of the infomercial.
No, seriously. There are consultants in America who consider themselves experts on how to poo.
Hold your legs up while you're in the toilet.
RateMyPoo.com.
But the problem, I think it's just, personally, I think there's just too much police stuff on American TV. It's just...
Yeah, actually, I agree,
it's hard to even care 1 ounce.
Yeah. Another one that we looked at.
Just before that, I mean, there should be more shows like The Walking Dead, ironically.
Yeah.
Because it's not just another police show. It's very, very successful, but it's just not another police show, and that there needs to be more of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's Bull.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think it is that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So, there were other trailers from CBS. There was Kevin James' new thing, Kevin Can Wait, and Man with a Plan, which
Kevin James?
Yeah.
Is he the Adam Sandler underling?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Basically, he's a newly retired police officer looking forward to spending a carefree quality time with his wife and three kids, only to discover he faces tougher challenges at home than he ever did on the streets.
Oh, yes. My God. That is the most cliche-ridden Lord of Bull.
Just looking at the picture there, it kind of reminds me of King of Queens, because the way they got the Brooklyn Bridge in.
That's what I was thinking.
And then you've got Man with a Plan, which is starring Matt LeBlanc, in a comedy about a contractor who starts spending more time with his kids when his wife goes back to work and discovers the truth every parent eventually realizes. Their little angels are maniacs.
So basically that TV show that I can't remember the name of, that was on BBC One and largely improvised.
Yeah.
But Americanized.
Yeah. And then
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. And then The Great Indoors, which stars Joe McHale, in a comedy about a renowned adventure reporter for an outdoor magazine who must adapt to the times when he becomes the desk-bound boss to a group of millennials in the digital department of the publication.
Next.
You know, a lot of people say that TV is right now in a golden age.
It's not.
That's utter nonsense.
Well, we're in comedy, so...
Yeah, but also there's the first look at Training Day, which is a crime thriller which begins 15 years after the events of the feature film, and it's about a young idealistic police officer who is tapped to go undercover in an elite squad of the LAPD, where he partners with a veteran, morally ambiguous detective Frank Rourke.
So why make it Training Day? That's just generic undercover cop thing.
That one's starring Bill Paxton, so...
I like Bill Paxton, but you're better than that.
Yeah. I think that name would draw some interest.
The other one from CBS, which I actually quite like the look of this, but I think, as you said, Rob, the trailer sold it wrong, was Pure Genius, which was about a young Silicon Valley tech titan who I'm assuming is molded on Elon Musk. Elon Musk being the guy behind SpaceX and Tesla.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
He was one of the founders of eBay. And PayPal.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then went on to basically make electric cars and rockets to travel to space.
White is on mode, Rob.
Yeah, he's considered one of the tech giants of this century. Anyway.
He does technology good.
Yes.
Anyway.
Great. This young Silicon Valley tech titan has created a cutting-edge hospital called The Bunker. And his name is James Bell, and he's played by Augustus Prue. It's called Bunker Hill, this hospital, or Bunker Hill Hospital. And he's determined to revolutionize healthcare and treat the rarest and most challenging medical mysteries. So it's basically House.
Oh, The Knack.
Hey?
Oh, The Knack.
The Knack?
It's a American TV show. It's more surgical, but period surgical.
Hmm.
Starring ex-James Bond, whose name is forgotten. No, not ex-James Bond. Clive Owen. Clive Owen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's either House or The Knack. Meets, I Dawn or some kind of real technologically advanced series.
I know it's not on the same point, but there's currently a trend on Twitter called Next James Bond. Nobody said Clive Owen. I think he'd make a good James Bond. Yeah, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, but pure genius. They're kind of selling it as a melodrama type thing, I suppose.
It's sort of like General Hospital.
Yeah, kind of like General Hospital, but
inspirational, melodramatic, really sweeping score.
Yeah. While I was watching the trailer, I kept thinking of Patch Adams.
Yeah, Patch Adams is, he solves your badness with laughs, because that's how the body works, apparently.
Yeah. With this, he solves your badness with technology, which makes more sense.
He just gives kids, like, tablets, and like, ooh, I'm better. I've got a school now.
Yeah, it makes more sense, but I like the idea of it because it's something that doesn't really get looked at. Okay, we've got medical dramas left, right, and centre.
Not as much as you used to.
Holby City is still a thing.
In England, in England, definitely, but in America, not so much.
Well, ER has been on forever.
It's long finished. Long finished.
No, Grey's Anatomy is the one I'm thinking of.
Nobody cares about that.
I thought that was cancelled ages ago.
No, Grey's Anatomy was still going on.
Why won't they let it die?
It's like the American...
Because they kept it on life support, man. They're not willing to pull the plug.
Pull the plug, someone, please.
It's like careful, it's not a real plug.
It's like the American Downton Abbey. It's just sort of very charming, middle class, but absolutely no substance to it.
So, yeah, I'm liking this because of the technology link. That's its selling point, you know, or using revolutionary technology. I mean, in the clip, they've got a girl in a coma, and then they basically say, okay, I bought this company just so we could try this, having like a brain-to-brain connection type thing. To see if there's actually still somebody in there before they turn the life support off.
It's just very straight, isn't it? It's very modernist, not like sci-fi, nothing like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What I like about it is that it's not going down the whole sci-fi route of saying, oh, we've suddenly dreamed up this way of curing you without touching you.
RoboCop.
With the power of our mind.
Then Jean-Claude Van Damme comes in with the cutoffs.
Yeah.
Doing his Fonz impersonation.
But with this, they're using technology that's around right now or, you know, technology from, like, the next couple of years.
Is this based on reality?
It's based on reality.
Yeah. I mean, the story is based on reality, though.
The story's not based on reality. It's just the technology is based on what's around right now.
So what's it got to do with this tech guy?
He's the one who started the hospital, and the reason why he started the hospital is
it a documentary series?
No, it's not. It's just
I'm confused about what this actually is, then.
It's a drama.
Yeah. So what has this tech whiz guy got to do with it if it's a drama?
Because he owns the hospital.
But that means he's playing a real version and he's playing a character of a real person.
No.
No.
I'm confused.
This is all fictional.
It's all fiction.
He's a fictional
billionaire who created
a
fictional hospital.
You said he was real.
No, he didn't.
Who said that?
I said he reminds me of Elon Musk.
Oh.
See, if you weren't white noising when I was talking...
But it was like the seaside. And,
it'd be really funny if it was just like a Martin Scorsese like biopic and he just slowly turns evil.
Yeah. Well, he might. You never know.
I'm going back to White Zone mode.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, finally was the official trailer for Prison Break. And to quote Owen, my God, just let it die.
I didn't use it in that context, but...
Seriously.
Why is he in, like, the Middle East?
Nobody knows.
How did he get there?
Nobody knows.
It all ended under the premise that...
He was dead.
Scofield was dead, that he electrocuted himself.
Where?
Is Philip Scofield dead?
No. Where did he electrocute himself?
He electrocuted himself...
No, which country was he in?
I cannot remember. I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in America.
So how the hell did he get from America to the Middle East?
That's a very good question.
He's Philip Schofield. He can do what he wants. He just winks his eye.
As long as it doesn't involve nipple clamps.
He just winks his eye at, you know, air hostesses, and he ends up wherever.
Possibly. You never know. But yeah, that was the first question I had was, why is he in the Middle East? Oh, Turkey, to be specific. I'm assuming it's Turkey. Yeah. So why is he in Turkey? Why is he in a prison in Turkey? And why do they have to break him out? Why can't they just go to the American government? Because last time I looked, they were all free and clear, weren't they?
They might have a little issue with Scofield. One, pretend to be dead. And two, breaking his wife out of prison, so they might not look at him too favorably.
He broke his wife out of prison. Why was she in prison?
Because she helped him escape prison in the first series. I'm pretty sure that's the
Ouroboros of Yellowblacks.
It's like Prison Break, the breakening.
Right.
Constant.
They were all given pardon after they helped stop this mysterious company, or helping the FBI stop this thing called the company.
So
it's organization.
But it was about breaking out of prison.
So that was the premise of the first film. Then it escalated to the fourth season to that. It was led by Schofield and his brother's mother. So
they have the same mother?
No, they do have the same mother.
Is this EastEnders?
No. Even though Michael Schofield and Lincoln Burrows, they still have the same mother. I don't know.
Why have different surnames if they're brothers from the same mother?
Maybe different fathers. I don't know. But they were all pardoned for their crimes and escape for helping the FBI. But I don't think Schofield's wife was, because she was a doctor working at the prison, and she left the door open that basically helped them escape. I don't think she was part of it.
So they extradited a turkey for absolutely no reason. No, not her.
She was broken out of prison by Schofield. But hang on. She left the door open for them to escape.
The first series, yeah.
In the first series. Was that intentional or not?
Yeah, because she started to fall in love with Schofield in the first season.
Okay, so here's the question I've got. How the hell is she in prison for leaving a door open?
Because it essentially helped them escape. I'm pretty sure that's the reason. That's the only reason I can think of.
No, but prove that she didn't just forget to lock it.
I don't know. It's been a while.
Do you see my point here?
No, I know. It's been a while. That's my assumption of why she was arrested. But she was put in prison and Schofield had to break her out. So I don't think they look too favourably on the fact that she, not only did he help her escape, but, you know, Americans...
Just let it die.
All right.
I'm confused.
Do you have a crazy wall in your flat on where you've put all this together, all the strings?
I'm imagining it over at your place, there's just strings leading from different TV shows where you've got this massive conspiracy theory going on.
I wouldn't say that, just following this plot.
I don't know.
I think you need that wall of string.
I just want EastEnders to be in like the Middle East now, like same cast. Like you've got Danny Dyer and everyone. There's just for some reason, like for no reason whatsoever, they're just in Turkey.
Middle EastEnders,
yeah, exactly. Middle EastEnders.
So that's what he was laughing at.
Oh my god, that actually sounds just brilliant.
Danny Dyer is, yeah, a mag. And it cuts back and it's a camel. He's having an argument with a camel. Then he punches the camel in the face because, I don't know, Geordies.
Because Geordies.
I think that's as good a point as any. I think that's all the trailers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all the trailers.
I'm from Trailageddon.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
Middle EastEnders is probably the only thing I would watch out for.
We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, so, films. Those are certainly things, right? And if you want to listen to much better film analysis than that, listen to Cinema Eclectica, also on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Now it's time for what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
My welcome back was better.
No, it wasn't.
Mine was the best. Yours was boring. Yeah, we've got two things this week, I guess.
Three
things.
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
So who wants to go first then? Oh. I'll go first, seeing as though you're also non-committal.
Okay.
WWE app. WWE app. Saying that, less speed of light.
I was going to say, isn't WWE app just WAP?
WAP.
Yeah. On the WAP right
on
now.
The WAP.
On the WAP.
If you're from Yorkshire, it's TWAP or TWAP.
On WWE Network, sorry. I got it completely wrong. WWE Network, they've got to put out a lot of stuff. They've got their own programming. They've got Raw. They've got the pay-per-views. They've got NXT. They've got all that. But they do this new thing where they make actual original programming. I mean, there's stuff with free around the table, car driving, you know, not the other kinds of driving. Car driving.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a popular thing. I know, like, James Corden's doing something very similar at the minute.
They've got all sorts of stuff. They had Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness, which doesn't.
No.
I can guarantee you that one.
It reeks, but not of awesomeness.
And then the newest one to this whole catalogue of shows, which is Camp WWE, which has been done by Stupid Monkey Productions. which would be better known as the
Seth Green.
Seth Green, yeah, and the people behind Robot Chicken. And I'm not sure about this. It's about Vince McMahon. He owns a sort of American summer camp with his teenage daughter Stephanie McMahon, and who's a counselor, and Triple H, who's also a counselor.
Triple H is hilarious.
Triple H is never. He's not. But the thing here is, it's got lots of the sort of mega superstars. It's got The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, John Cena's whiny little turd.
Yeah.
Which is kind of honest of them, I guess. It's got lots of the mainstay characters, actually, for some reason, Big Show, The Bellas, Paige, with the worst English accent. But yes, it's kind of an odd show. It's 3 episodes in so far. The first one was about Vince McMahon not wanting John Cena to leave because if one kid wants
to
leave,
I've only seen the first episode.
The whole camp will leave. The second one was about The Rock's eyebrow being shaved off and Vince McMahon losing his cash cow.
Yeah, I watched that episode because you watched it in here, didn't
you? And the third one is about how Sergeant Slaughter takes a group of kids off into the countryside for survival weekend where they meet Jake the Snake. And while alone, Vince McMahon tries to do hijinks and he weighs on stuff and wrecks the camper's room. And,
Sergeant Slaughter's hilarious.
And in the girls' camp, he mudges all of the bowling balls above one of the bunk beds. And the bowling balls fall and trap him under a bunk bed, and he goes nuts and he's saved by wolves who pee on him. but it's labelled as an adult comedy. What's adult about it is a little bit like that, and Stone Cold Steve Austin's got his reflex.
His yep. FU. His FU reflex.
His FU reflex. It's not very well animated. It's very Adult Swim in its style. Like, lesser Adult Swim, I guess. But it's simultaneously amazing and terrible. I mean,
I agree.
It's baiting, like, wrestling fans quite heavily. I mean, it has to be in the WWE Network. But it also has, like, this odd occasion where it'll say something ridiculously funny. I mean, there's, like, one ridiculously good laugh in every episode. I mean, episode 3 has a bit where it's just Vince McMahon, who voices himself, as does Ric Flair. And Sergeant Slaughter, he just has him daydreaming, and he daydreams he's the Terminator, and he's got Terminator arms, and he daydreams he can put all of his organs into his arm and just lift off.
What?
And having Vince McMahon do this, this is a 70-year-old man who's like he's an entertainment magnate, I guess you'd call him.
Yeah.
Voicing this character. He's just mad, and the stuff he says is mad. So he's very self-aware like that, but it just baits wrestling fans a little bit too heavily, so I'm not quite sure. It constantly threatening to be both terrible and amazing, and it's never one, but it's always both.
My favourite's Ric Flair.
He's such a meme machine. In the first episode, he has sex with like a tiger and a bear.
He's in touch with nature. Right?
Owen was white noising there until you said that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch all of it. Because it's like with WWE, there's so much wrestling. You can only watch it so much, and they don't really do anything animated. I mean, the films are terrible as well. But this is like a complete new thing for them. And I just want to see if it becomes good or not. I just want to see how it turns out, really.
Hmm.
But it's intriguing, occasionally hilarious, but interesting.
Cool.
That's Camp WWE. You can get it on the WWE Network, 3 episodes.
The WAP again.
It's on the WAP. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That exists.
Ah, who's next then?
I haven't watched anything new this week, but I've been watching
something old.
Yeah, I've been watching a few old series of Hell's Kitchen.
Why? So you were watching something old then?
Yes.
Because Gordon Ramsay is getting on.
He is a bit.
Or at least he looks like he is, anyway. I've never seen a more crinkly face.
That's very true.
That's what Scottish people look like.
Oh!
It's just about that shouting.
Oh!
It's what you've got to look forward to, Owen.
Right in my national pride.
Right in the national.
Isn't it? The older you get, Owen, the more your face is going to look like a knacker.
That's going on a t-shirt.
I joke, of course. I joke. It's just him. It's just his face.
Hell's Kitchen's been going on now for about 15 years?
No.
Has it?
Yeah.
No. Is it still going on?
Yep.
Didn't he leave, though, and hand the reins over to someone else?
I'm trying to find out.
Was it Marco Pierre White or something like that? Or not sure.
Actually, I'm wrong. It has 15 seasons.
Okay.
But it's been going on since 2005.
So 11 years then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Still long enough.
Didn't he hand the reins over, though, to Marco Pierre White or whatever he's called? The one who does all those Norse stockpot adverts. Which I always found hilarious because he's supposed to be like a Michelin-starred chef, but he's doing Knorr adverts.
Just sounds like a tea cider saying, no.
Exactly.
Not that I could see, no. But yeah, season 15 came out January this year. But I've been watching the old ones. I've watched, one I'm currently watching is the 10th season.
Yeah.
So celebrating 10 seasons of Hell's Kitchen. And I've got to say, for quite a landmark, it is one of the worst series I've ever seen. The chefs are horrific. Even when they've got the black jackets, they are still terrible.
Really?
Yeah, they were really bad. I mean, they got kicked out the kitchen at like the 12th, 13th episode.
Wow.
Yeah, so when there was about halfway through the series, even more, they were kicked out the kitchen. That's how bad the chefs were. It's ridiculous, because it's funny to see, because they've got to work as a team, but they want to win the competition. And so they think, oh, I'll go for myself, you know, and stand out to the chef, but then the whole team sinks, and it's just just awful.
What's Hell's Kitchen?
Right, Hell's Kitchen was originally a district in New York, which is referenced in Daredevil, and they've used the name for a TV series where a bunch of chefs battle it out in kind of an Iron Chef, Master Chef type competition where they serve food to people who really don't deserve food serving to them. And they're shouted at a lot by Gordon Ramsay, who basically, because he's been so successful, apparently is now the god of food. And they should worship at the altar of the Ramsay.
Yes, everybody talks about how much they respect and how much it's an honor to be taught by him.
And it's gone on so long that he's become a meme.
Do you know the weird thing? You say he's got a face like a knacker, but the weird thing is, according to some creation myths, right, the universe was formed from the creator's left testicle being cut off by some dark force.
That's what you're saying. That testicle, that grew body, became God Ramsay.
I am not saying anything of the sort. I will leave it all to speculation.
Explain his grizzled physique.
It would.
And explain why he likes to shout at people all the time.
Oh, he shouts so much.
The gag's kind of lost now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun for like 2 years, and then that's all he does. That's all he does. Yeah.
He's just really good at swearing. But he seems to be better at swearing than he is cooking.
Well, do you know the sad thing, right?
Swearing's easy, you know. Yeah. Cooking's a challenge.
The sad thing is, I don't honestly think that, because I've watched Hell's Kitchen myself, and it was fine for a little bit, but you don't need to be that aggressive with somebody because it's just a bloody competition.
That's true, but I think...
See, if I was on Hell's Kitchen and Gordon Ramsay was shouting at me, I would not hesitate to, you know, kick him in the face or the nuts. I'd have to decide which one.
I'm surprised he hasn't been beat up at this point by somebody.
He's had people having a right old go at him.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean physically hit him, not just have a go at him.
He's probably been punched.
More than a few times.
But here's the thing. I would just say to him, Gordon, there are kids starving in Africa and in Asia. This is not important. You can go away now.
I just worry for the man's hemorrhoids. He must have massive... all that rage... He must have terrible hemorrhoids.
Well, apparently he has.
I was going to say, have you found proof?
I have found face where Gordon Ramsay misses a slap in the face. Gordon Ramsay fight and that. There's apparently been a fight. Gordon Ramsay getting hit. So I think he actually has been hit in the past.
I thought you found GordonsRides.com.
Do you know the sad thing, though? Because I think Hell's Kitchen has an audience, which I think they just like that misery TV where they just like, you know, the Schadenfreude TV where they take pleasure out of other people's misery.
No, so like Benefit Street.
Yeah. So basically, I think Hell's Kitchen has that audience in its, you know, in its pockets already.
And Come Dine With Me.
Yeah, Come Dine With Me.
Oh,
I think Gordon is actually better when he's doing his cooking show when he's at home with his kids, because he can't shout at them because his wife will probably hit him with a rolling pin. And I think when he's in that kind of environment, he's actually quite affable and quite amenable, and he's actually instructive. You know,
I can't stand him, to be honest. I think the world of TV cookery has moved past him.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't do that many shows these days, except for Hell's Kitchen. He doesn't do the Restaurant Impossible, was it, or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I think it was.
No, Restaurant Impossible is on Food Network. That.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes him, frankly.
Yeah.
Nobody likes him. Even Jamie Oliver's more affable than him, and that's saying a lot.
Well, Jamie's going around trying to reform school meals.
I say what you like about Jamie Oliver. I love his Christmas cookery show.
Oh, his Christmas cookery show is good. And I like it, the one that he's doing right now, you know, the Friday night thing. Because he gets like different celebrity guests on and they cook their meal that they're most proud of. And they're coming up with all these weird and wacky they find all these little foods from around the country that people have just forgotten about.
More marginalized and slight people. I mean, Gino Ton and whatever. Gino
Di Campo.
That one. Gino Camp Gino. Him. He just goes around being attractive in Italy. That's his gimmick.
And it works.
Yes,
it works so much.
I'm not saying anything.
There's the Chinese woman who does like a show on Channel 4, which I think is very good. I don't know her name.
Ching.
That's very good. That's her name. I like that one. That's good.
I think I can explain Gordon Ramsay. This is something I knew before.
Whoa. Did you just get like a blackboard and work this out using maths?
No, it's just two words, I think, explains Gordon Ramsay. I knew this information before and forgot. Glasgow born.
Well, Glasgow are a very...
I'm glad you went there, because the two words that were in my head ended in you.
Well, mine were D and C, but I can't say either.
I can't say the first one of mine.
Well, the first one of mine's daft.
Fair enough.
And the other one, I can't say.
Rhymes with the last name of the health secretary, I'm guessing?
Yeah, bit. Ah.
Bit. Well, it's generally what the health secretary's called these days.
Shots. Anyhow.
Please don't do the shots thing.
Don't say, if you say shots fired, I'm going to
start shooting you with an air pistol.
I'm going to find what's ever nearest to me and throw it at you, which in this case is a mic stand. And I can guarantee you that would hurt.
Sorry, because there's one going free, so.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Hell's Kitchen.
Yes. Swearing on steroids.
If it was swearing on steroids, it'd be like a next level up.
That's true. To be fair, they are not afraid to use the C word, cooking.
Yeah.
Did they actually call
it
cooking?
That made me cringe.
Apparently they do.
Without any swearing?
Well, apparently swearing enhances the flavour. It must do.
Because that would explain a lot.
just all the foam and spit coming out of his mouth.
Anyhow.
Yeah, do you use them like a pepper? You know, like, now I've got a weird mental image. You know how Ainsley Harriet had Percy Pepper, the giant pepper mill. Instead of Percy Pepper, best. he's got a Gordon Ramsay. He's just shaking.
Just swearing. <spit bottle>.
<It's> an image. Anyhow. Calm. Down to earth. Down to earth.
Okay.
Calm. Aww. Calm.
Yes.
Calm.
That's what you should say to Gordon Ramsay next time he's in the kitchen.
Ryan.
Oh. Yeah, so this week I've had the pleasure of watching The Further Adventures of the Musketeers, which has been sent to us by Simply Media. This originally aired in 1967 and was pretty much...
Really that old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much the golden age of the BBC, and this was originally like aired around like Sunday tea time.
Yeah.
And I must admit, it does feel like one of those shows, but going in, I think I underestimated it, and I really enjoyed this. The premise of this is that it's based off the sequel to Alexandre Dumas, 20 Years After.
Oh, The Musketeers, 20
Years
After. Yeah, 20
Years After, yeah.
I think that's what the book's actually called, is The Musketeers, 20 Years After.
So Jack Acklin plays D'Artagnan. And he's basically the musketeers have disbanded, and it's just him, and he's sort of going nowhere. He's got no money. He's basically just a merc at this point.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he wants to regain more renown, get some more popularity, possibly a title, and again, earn a bit of a fortune in the meantime. So he ends up actually teaming up with the Cardinal, who's the Prime Minister at this point.
Richelieu? Richelieu?
I think it's a different one.
Is it a different Cardinal?
Okay. Yeah. The Queen Anne, she's had a son. Again, he's only young, but the idea of that this Cardinal is, he's sort of like this bad guy in the fact that, you know, he's trying to work his way into like the relations and sort of try and overthrow the king.
Yeah.
Sort of the similar story in a somewhere, if you really look at it. But he realizes that, you know, he needs a team. He needs his old like friends back. So he gets permission from the Cardinal to take some leave, go and reunite with the original and all his friends. But this is pretty much like the first part of the story. You know, the first few episodes, it's just him going off, you know, meeting up with them. I'll go through the cast, but you've got John Woodvine as Aramis, Jeremy Young as Athos, and of course you've got Brian Blessed as Porthos.
Yeah, he's pretty much the only person who could play Porthos.
Oh, it's fantastic. But anyway, he's going around just trying to, you know, convince them to join him. But they've all, like two of them have, Aramis and Athos, if, you know, they've got their own agendas. One of them's now like a count, and one of them's a priest. And
I can't remember. Was it Aramis was the priest?
Yeah, it was. But yeah, he's, you know, they've got their own agendas. You know, they want to just settle down with, like, you know, their own lives. And then the only one that's willing to go with him is Brian Blessed playing Porthos.
Yeah. And it must be very young, Brian Blessed.
Oh, it is, but he's
sort
still
of like Z Cop, sort of.
Yeah, but it, surprisingly, you know, with still like the facial and everything, he still looks quite old.
He's just one of those people who's never aged.
Yeah, he honestly hasn't.
Reached the ultimate Brian Blessedness and stopped there.
Yeah, but going in, you know, it was, you know, just setting up the story. It was quite dry until Porthos was introduced, and I must say it was like still funny. He's pretty much the comedy factor of this.
Yeah.
But it's such a larger in life character that, you know, it's really dry. And when he is on screen, it's amazing. But no, honestly, the way he's introduced is, you know, D'Artagnan is like gone to visit him, and he's in this really nice luxury house, and he's over the moon that he's pleased to see him. It's been like, again, like about 20 years. And, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm bored. Like, I'm just sat here. And he's like, oh, how have you been? He's like, well, I had a wife, but she died 3 years ago. But then he's just like over the moon. He's like, but look at all what she left me. And he's just in this really nice house. And it's really, really funny. And he's like, he goes on the fact that, you know, he's bored of just being sat around in like this luxury manner with like nothing to do. And then he just wants to go around fighting people.
Yeah. I think
that's kind of Brian Blessed.
Well, it's the character as well. When you get right down to it.
Like, he says like he comes out with, you know, Sunday mass and then just looks for fights.
Well, Brian Blessed did punch a polar bear in the face.
That's true.
The thing is,
he sounds like a typical Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
Right, church is gone. Time for a fight.
Is he getting it back at me because I ask insulted Scottish people?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he's like, it's a fantastic character because he's really upset because his neighbours in his nice luxury house won't talk to him because he hasn't got a title. And he's like, oh, well, they won't talk to me, and I've even killed two of them, and they still won't have nothing to do with me.
Is
it played for laughs, though?
No,
I don't think so. I think it's just that type of character.
Do you know the interesting thing about
Three Brian Musketeers? And it's Brian Blessed, like, delivering it, and it just hams it up so much.
Here's the interesting thing about the Three Musketeers, right? Everyone thinks of the Three Musketeers as, like, this dashing, you know,
romantic drama.
The Musketeers, oh, they're so romantic. Oh, they're so handsome. Everything like that. Alexandre Dumas wrote it partly as a comedy, because there is a version of the Musketeers, the original Musketeer story, which is a movie. I think it's got, it's a version of the Musketeers with Oliver Reed in, and it's quite a bawdy comedy type, romantic drama type thing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I was going to mention this, but the fact that, you know, you get a lot of the, you know, Musketeer adaptations that are often, you know, that have that campiness towards him. And this doesn't, and it's really straight apart from like Porthos. Like, that's the only exception.
But that's what I'm trying to say. That version of the Musketeers is actually quite a good adaptation.
It's more to the book, I would say.
And see, what they did by casting Oliver Reed as Porthos in that because that's basically who Porthos is. Yeah. He's a battle junkie. He just likes getting into fights because that's when he feels alive.
But no, like I say, so Porthos is promised, you know, if he goes along with it, then he'll be promised a title. And then that's when, like, these interesting, like, plot points reoccur because the fact that, you know, there's sort of, like, this rebellion going on at the same time under, like, the Cardinal and then trying to overthrow the King, and then you have these rebels that, you know, are against, you know, what he's trying to do. And this is a thing that I was pleasantly surprised with, but the fact that, you know, you've got Porthos and D'Artagnan that are on the side of the Cardinal. And then you've got Aranis and Athos, who are, you know, they're on the side of the rebels, and the fact that, you know, they're originally brothers. So the fact that they're on, like, they're originally, like, you know, all for one, one for all, and now they're on, you know, different sides. And that is a really interesting, like, part of the narrative, you know, the fact that, you know, they've slowly worked this out. And, you know, they end up fighting each other. The idea is that, you know, they want to put that aside, and even though they're on opposite sides, you know, they're still friends.
Yeah.
And I really like that part of it. But you're saying you've got this massive plot line going on with these two warring factions, but as well you've got this third party with, I like how they do this, where a character from the original Lady de Winter,
yeah,
who was originally like the spy and was killed by them, she has a son.
Yeah.
And he's basically grown up now, and he wants revenge, and he acts as this third party and sort of goes in between all the different factions and basically manipulates them, and he just wants to basically track down the people that killed his mother. But the production value is great, and I must say, like, Brian Blessed as Porthos, he's like the best thing about this. There's another brilliant scene where he's unarmed and he's jumped and basically attempting to be like mugged by five people, and he just takes them on with like his bare hands, and it's like something out of the Incredible Hulk. And it's amazing.
He would have been a brilliant Incredible Hulk though.
But it's just his really like slow moving, like the way he's like acting, it's just like, and just slowly like just not throwing them about, but looking like he's putting barely any effort into it. And it's just, it's really, that's the only campy side of it. But apart from that, it's really like a straight serious version, I would say, more close to the book. And I hate to use the example, but I find it quite relevant, the fact that, you know, it goes into like the whole political side of it, and it's sort of that something you see out of like Game of Thrones and a lot of things like that these days. And I really enjoyed it, and honestly, it was a massive surprise. But
sound like France during that time period.
Yeah, that's the thing. It works.
But, that's Dragon, sir.
Yeah, everything else was the same though.
Yeah. I was wondering why this was released, because I think it's been just like, again, sat on like one of the BBC shelves just on like video for like a long time. And I was like, well, why are they bringing this out now? And it's because the BBC have currently got like their new adaptation of The Musketeers, which apparently has just been renewed for a third season. Yeah. So it must be quite popular. So like, well, here's the new one. Here's the original.
Yeah, but this is now from BBC. This is now from Simply Media, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it was originally BBC.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, okay. So Simply Media putting this out, and that is available on DVD from the 23rd of May. And honestly, it was a massive surprise. But no, Brian Blessed is easily the star of the show.
How many episodes is that? Because it's BBC. Shouldn't be as many.
I believe only about 16.
That's quite a long run then.
That's not bad, actually, yeah.
For the time period as well, for 1967.
How long are the episodes? Like,
only about 25 minutes, yeah.
Well, it packs in a lot then, doesn't it?
The thing is, though, for 25-minute episodes, they have a lot of like weight to them.
Because
sometimes, like, for example, I'll watch like a full like 50-minute episode of Game of Thrones, and it's like, fair enough. But this, even though it's only like, it's not half the time, it's still, you get just as much out of it, I would say.
Yeah, I think part of that is because when you're constrained by time, it's coming back to what you were talking about with frequency. When you're constrained by those time limits, you tend to think of packing everything you can into it so that the story makes sense.
And it still has the good production value as well for that time, you know, especially some of like the more like outside scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like with horror films, no budget. Having no budget, it makes you work harder.
Yeah. You think outside the box.
Necessity is the mother invention.
It's all about the acting. The acting is like really good here. And it has that campiness of somewhat of the Musketeers, you know, like, you know, hijinks they get up to, like trying to spring people out of prison and all sorts that goes on. But it's really, really good. I honestly recommend it. It's definitely you can tell it's part of the golden age.
I think it's what we've time for, really.
Yep. That's it. We're at the end of the show. So The Geek Show Podcast Network is a volunteer organization, so please show your support by making a donation or sharing our GoFundMe campaign, which is on our website at the moment, or you can make a normal donation using PayPal, which is also on the website, or buy something from our shop, which is on the website. Everything is on the website, thegeekshow.co.uk. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk.
Or the website.
Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, My Animal List, someone like that. There's also a contact page on the website.
There it is again.
All of our shows are available on the website.
Or Mixcloud.
Or Stitcher, iTunes, various places like that. So, yeah, that's it for that. I have been Rob.
I've been Ryan.
I've been Rob.
And I've been Owen.
We'll see you all next week. Have fun.